Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
I'm Rick Kogan. This is Stuart Rosenberg. We're filling in for Bill and Wendy. Who is that?
That is Layla Frankel. She is just a crackerjack. She is a young woman who grew up around music all of her life. Her father is Joel Frankel, who was the Jerry Garcia of the eight-year-olds, the leading kids performer in Chicago. And she grew up, what a lot of people don't know about Joel is that he's a great songwriter, too. He songs that he wrote have appeared in major Hollywood movies, and he really provided a great role model for his daughter, who is a terrific musician.
She sounds good. You can keep this playing underneath for a while. I think this kid, what do you guys think? This sounds great.
She's got a great voice. She's a great musician. She's a great writer. And she is one of these, you know, you get to a certain point along the trail when you're rounding third and heading towards home, and you realize there's some great people on the bench that are a little younger than you that you really should get in the game.
But it also gives you hope, Stuart.
It's very true. She is an inspirational character. And
how old is she?
She's in her mid-20s.
Yeah.
And she's playing out. She's got a lot of great stuff going on. She does a wonderful song circle where she gathers her friends who are also very talented songwriters, and they do a kind of a Nashville in the round thing.
And she's one of the performers.
And she's going to be bringing that song circle to First Night Evanston. That's right.
This is, as you and I, who have been around a long time, we know that there are a million inducements to go out for New Year's Eve and pay eight times what you would normally pay so you can have a stupid hat on your head and get loaded on lousy champagne. First Night Evanston is, to my mind, the best New Year's Eve event, in part because it is so, so extraordinarily family-friendly.
Well, it is, and we're making musical and entertainment choices that appeal not just on the basis of genre, but also appeal across a wide range of experience. So we've got a wonderful kind of teen extravaganza with a bunch of really cool teenage bands. There's a kids show during the day from 1 till 4 that Layla will also be participating in. She, for many years, she was one of the Wiggle Worms instructors at the Old Town School.
Oh, the Wiggle Worms at the Old Town School.
So she's great with the little kids as well as with the really heartfelt singer-songwriter stuff. And then in the evening, we've got everything from artists like Howard Levy and Corky Siegel and Megan McDonough. And we've got a Story Slam with Moth Grand Slam winners who have done the Moth Story Slam here in town and in other places. And it's going to be participatory. So if you've got a story, you can come to our Story Slam and tell your story. One of the things that I'm most proud of is for the past several years, we've included the poets of Rhino magazine. Rhino is a great poetry journal. Ralph Hamilton is curating the poetry reading, and we're doing the second annual First Night Evanston Poetry Contest, which was a big hit last year.
How did you become Stuart Rosenberg, who has been an essential part of the Chicago music entertainment scene here for decades, and I the same, but as an observer, how did you become the impresario of this thing?
Oh, I love that word. I do. I really do love that word.
It doesn't get thrown around much.
Well, you know, I mean, part of the reason is because most of cultural production in this era tends to take place through institutions.
Indeed.
And I'm just not a terribly institutional guy. And what's always driven my career, whether it's been as a radio host on public radio, whether it's been as a producer with other musicians,
as a club owner,
as a founder of Space, my great passion has always been to find out how to share the love of the things that I really love with other people, and to sort of explain to them why these things are worthy of their affection. And that's what an impresario does. An impresario finds something that's of great value and says, come on, everybody, check this out. It's going to be good. It's going to be, you'll love it. It's going to change your life. And that role has been a part of musical presentation throughout history.
Yeah.
There have always been impresarios. Yeah. You know, you always follow the money. Where's the patronage, right? So the patronages float to institutions, which tend now to be the ones that do production.
But many impresarios, not to laud you too heavily on this day after Christmas, many impresarios have been in it mostly. You are the rare breed of impresario because you are, to my mind, an altruistic impresario. You know, you're not in this.
Tell my wife.
What? I won't tell you. I've never told any friend's wife anything.
No, I
you know what I mean, though.
I do it because I love it. You know, and the thing that got me to presenting is being a musician. I'm still a working musician. That's what I do, you know, day in, day out. And when I find things that I love, I want other people to hear them. And when I was given the opportunity to participate in First Night, it was a chance to do exactly that.
Give me a bit. I'm pretty sure that I probably wrote about the First Night Evanston. And again, you can go to firstnightevanston.net for the entire schedule of events. When was that, and how did it start?
All right, so it's a good story. So in 1993, a lovely woman in Evanston, she was an older woman at the time, Annie Heideman, who happened to have been my high school English teacher, decided that it would be a good idea to get on this wagon of this family-friendly citywide celebration called First Night. So she organized a nonprofit and put a board together. And my first relationship with First Night was as a musician. Annie called me up and said, we want you to play. And for the first several years of First Night, I was a performer.
Sure.
I brought my band. We had a great time. It was a lovely event. The event grew and grew and grew over the years. And to my way of thinking, after the millennium passed, it had grown a bit cumbersome. It was very large. They had shuttle buses taking people around town. They had people playing in building lobbies. And it was
I remember that.
It was a little bit too much. It wasn't very focused. At that point, it began to sort of fall in on itself. And within a year or two, there were disputes on the board, and half the board quit, and the other half of the board quit, and there was no First Night. And for about 4 or 5 years, it was in the dark. Nothing happened. Then back around 2012, I get a call from my old high school teacher, Annie Heideman, who says to me, you know, let's talk. Why do you think it fell apart, and how can we put it back together?
Well, it is back together now. Welcome back for a second. This is Rick Cogan doing his best to fill in for Bill and Wendy. Stuart Rosenberg and I will continue our conversation about First Night Evanston, which is where you should go on New Year's Eve. All right, Stuart Rosenberg, who is this going to be that we're hearing?
It's Megan.
Oh, this is the great Megan McDonough, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rick Cogan doing his best with Stuart Rosenberg to fill in for Bill and Wendy for about another an hour and a half. That's Megan McDonough. She was on my Sunday night radio show a few weeks ago with her new lovely sort of four-cut Christmas CD, and she's one of the grand talents. That news, if I forgot to tell you, it was brought to you by People's Gas. Stuart Rosenberg is brought to you by himself. When you pick as the impresario of, as the altruistic impresario of First Night Evanston, go to firstnightevanston.net to see what you should do for New Year's Eve. The selection of certainly the musical performers, among them Howard Levy, Megan McDonough, Corky Siegel, and Irwin Helfer, do they do this as a favor to you, Stuart?
Well, no. Everyone gets paid. I mean, they're working musicians, and I have a firm belief that if you are a working musician, you get paid for your work. I have a personal relationship with most of the people who play on the show just because I've been around so long.
Sure. You know,
I've been kicking around this town for
some time. It's a mutual admiration society. There's no question about that.
Some of these are musicians that I've worked with in the studio. Some of them have performed on my various radio shows and my years on public radio and other broadcast outlets. And they become friends. I mean, we're kindred spirits in a sense. One of the things that I really try to do is figure out how to represent the sensibility of the people that I'm producing this for.
Yeah.
And we do attract a lot of people from Evanston, but we attract people from 30 states.
Oh, as well you should.
We attract people from all over the area. It's kind of a unique event. One of the things that makes it so wonderful is that one single wristband, which is extraordinarily affordable, the general admission is $25, gets you in to see all of these artists.
I'm only
artists,
laughing because it's so ridiculously
all these artists
price.
That normally you would pay you
way
know,
more.
At least that to see them in the
for
club.
Each of, right? For each of them.
You get to see all of them. You get to see Howard and Corky. You get to see Megan McDonough. We've got
Erwin Helfer,
the professor. We've got participatory dancing. We've got a barn dance and a Motown sock hop with Gerald McClendon.
Let me ask you specifically, because you're on for this whole half hour, Stuart Rosenberg. Is it not heartening to you to watch what I consider the astonishing musical growth of people like Howard Levy, Megan McDonough, Erwin Helfer, and Corky Siegel? And these are all grand talents, but each one of them, to my mind, has pushed and sort of explored the bounds of their talent.
Well, that's a really interesting question. And what I would point to is the way that the business of music has changed.
Mm-hmm.
In the early part of the careers of all these people, your career was based on making a record and selling a record.
Yeah.
Those days are over.
Absolutely.
And what all of these artists have to do now is they have to create relationships with an audience and keep that relationship vital. So when I look at an artist like Howard, I see that what he is seeking to do is to continually renew his creativity in a way that allows him to offer something fresh and insightful and magical to the people that he plays for. When I listen to Megan, I mean, she's done amazing. First of all, there's some things that people don't know about Megan, one of which is that she is drop-down hilarious.
Oh, no question.
She will just have you on the floor. And you listen to the beautiful voice, and you think, oh, she's a honey-voiced folk singer. But she is funny. And she also has the best show business stories of anybody.
Correct.
Incredible. But the great thing about her is at this point in her life, she knows she's not going to get a hit record. Because that doesn't happen anymore.
It sure does.
But what you do get is you get to create an ongoing, living, growing relationship with an audience.
Yeah.
And they come and hear you, and they hear what you've discovered. They hear what's changed you, what's come into your life. And in so doing, you enrich their lives. And this is the new way. One of the unspoken subtexts of the whole First Night experience is, it gets people off their screens.
Yeah.
It gets people out of their house in community with a bunch of other people in these incredible, beautiful spaces that they never have a chance to go into. And it's magic.
One of those spaces is, and we'll talk about all of the spaces, because it's such a cozy kind of setup.
It is.
One of them is, to my mind, among the great music halls in this country that a lot of people don't go. The Nichols Hall of the Music Institute of Chicago. Talk about that space for a while.
Well,
I've seen people awed when they walk in.
It's pretty magical. I mean, the institution itself is a pretty remarkable institution.
Yeah.
And they have a regard for, I don't want to call it the sanctity, but the power of music.
That really
shows in the quality with which they regard the presentation of music. And like the other venues that First Night takes place in, this was actually a former church.
Mm-hmm.
And when they took it over, they built a wooden stage, and the acoustics in this room are just spectacular.
Yeah.
And I call it the Goldilocks venue, because it's not too big and it's not too small. It's just right. Every seat is a good seat in the house, and it just sounds magnificent. And they've got really good Hamburg Steinway in there. So,
oh, yeah.
So,
Megan playing there?
Megan will be there, yeah. She'll be there. She's going to be there. My dear pal, Stuart Figa, who does a show that he calls 50 Shades of Yiddish. is going to be there. I find that hilarious. So the 50 Shades of Yiddish is a sort of an exploration of Jewish American music and Yiddish cabaret music. That's really quite fascinating. That's the music that fed directly into the development of Tin Pan Alley in this country. Ugh. And Stewart makes the connections between all those things in a very
You're proving here is that First Night Evanston, go to firstnightevanston.net, is a cultural extravaganza the likes of which you will not find anywhere. We got to take a little break. Do we get traffic now? Do we need traffic again? You know what? Traffic is fine. I have just given you a traffic report. Traffic is just fine. Here are some commercials, and I'll continue on with Stuart Rosenberg. Welcome back. Rick Hogan and Stuart Rosenberg doing their best to fill in for Bill and Wendy, and we're talking we're actually getting pretty philosophical about life and the music business and everything else, but we're talking...
It's hard, son. Being a musician, it's great to stand up there and play, but people think that... musicians feel the way the audience feels when they're listening to them play their big hit. They think that the musician feels like that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just not true.
And the music industry and the
business of celebrity and all that stuff, it doesn't have that much to do with music. It has to do with business. And frankly, the music that really lasts is the music that gets played by people because it would be played whether or not they were celebrities or not.
Yeah. Well, when you look at, the lineup, and again, I'll keep mentioning these names, but you really do have to go, ladies and gentlemen, to firstnightevanston.net. Even if you're one of those people who say, I'm sick of celebrating New Year's Eve, or I have bad memories of celebrating New Year's Eve in some overpriced, gin mill somewhere where they gave you a hat and a horn and a lousy steak.
I played that gig many times.
Oh, I've been in that party many times. But this thing is just, it has entertainment of all sorts. It's in a really relatively confined.
Right. The venues are all surrounding Raymond Park, which is in downtown Evanston. Yeah. Evanston is full of great restaurants, cozy spots. It's easy to get a table. Come have dinner and wander on over. Gets you in everywhere. And these venues, there's the First Presbyterian Church, which was designed by Daniel Burnham.
Yep.
That room is just magnificent.
Tim Weigel at his funeral there.
All these buildings are, and they're not open to the public on a general basis.
Right, right.
You get a chance to see how beautiful they are.
Well, the other thing, Sue, you got to talk to me about this, because every time I remember Evanston, when I used to have to go to the orthodontist in Evanston, and it was like the world's smallest little town. I don't think I could have found a restaurant there if I tried 50 years ago.
Right.
If you have not been to downtown Evanston in the last 20 years, you are in for many revelations.
It has exploded.
Extraordinary.
It's really exploded. Part of it is that downtown Evanston has developed significantly because people who have lived in single family homes in the suburbs, they really don't want that anymore. They want something that's a little bit more suitable to their lifestyle.
Right.
So there's been a kind of a condo explosion, and the density has increased, and now there's everything.
Yeah.
And one of the things that this has yielded is a lot of great restaurants, a lot of nice walking neighborhoods, and that whole area is right next to First Night.
Yeah.
So you come on down, you park your car for free in one of the city lots, you buy a wristband for $25, and you're in, and it's great.
I know I've called you the impresario of this thing, and you are really kind of the driving creative force, but you got to... It's going to take almost a year for you and your colleagues to put this together, does it not?
Well, you do once or twice, and they sort of begin to take on a certain inertia and energy on their own. But yeah, I think about it. The minute one's over, I begin to think about the next. My feeling is that, Evanston is a unique place. It's a suburb of Chicago, but it's also its own town. It's this little town with
a lake
on one side and a giant city on the other and a big major university. And it has a lot of appeal that is independent of the appeal of the city of Chicago. And part of it is the fact that it has that quality of approachability, and it has a population that's very diverse, and it sees diversity as a strength.
Yes.
Which is a unique
Unlike
characteristic.
Many. Yes.
And,
yes.
And because of that, there's a kind of a thoughtful quality to the people who who I'm producing this for, who the First Night community is made up of, and they are very, very supportive.
Don't you also think there is, and it's a fading human quality, but I think you and most of the people involved in this, our great mutual friend Fiona Queen, there is a real, real pride of place.
Oh yeah,
there.
Well, that's a very much a part of the board of First Night. People like Annie Heidemann, who is my high school English teacher.
Yes, your mentor.
Emily Guthrie, who is a former alderman in Evanston, who's the board chair. All the members of the board, they have a strong commitment to the arts in Evanston and the Evanston community in general. One of the challenges of an organization like this is it has a kind of a Brigadoon quality. You know, it rises up out of nothing once a year into this, you know, mega crazy night of celebration. And when I just mean there's a lot going on. And so making that happen and getting the volunteers all together and getting them trained and figuring out how we're going to get all the tickets sold, it's a complicated equation. But it gets done, and the result is something that the city's really proud of. They've been very supportive of us. And I personally feel that the same energy that creates First Night is capable of so much more. I would love to see a regular summer festival in Evanston that kind of has the same quality.
What a great idea.
You know, I mean, Evanston is beginning to see itself.
What a great idea. Yeah.
Evanston is beginning to see itself as a tourist destination. There are all these beautiful bed and breakfasts.
Yeah, and there are all these new hotels.
So the idea of creating a summer event when the kids are gone from Northwestern and there's a little breathing room, I think it's a lead pipe cinch.
You're going to turn Evanston into Aspen, aren't you?
My model is Stratford in Canada.
Right? Sure,
The Shakespeare Festival. They took a little farming town,
right.
And now they've got $120 million a year turnover with the Shakespeare Festival.
You must also this year be relatively, it's not going to be 54 degrees on New Year's Eve, but it's going to be relatively nice in there.
From your mouth to God's ears.
It's not going to be that nice, but it's going to be nice. I mean, this is like springtime.
Even when we've had 6 inches of snow, we've had 15 degrees or 10 degrees, people come out because, you know, it warms the heart. It really does. It really does. And like I say, there's something for the kids. There's a great teen extravaganza. So the whole family comes. And it's
that's one of the things that I really, really like about it. I mean, the whole notion, I don't remember what my parents used to do when I was a kid, but I felt kind of, you know, the big joy was staying up till midnight, which wasn't all that fun because there was, you know, 3 TV channels or something. I mean, this is one of those for you people who don't, then I know a lot of people who are like, oh, the hell with it, New Year's Eve, who needs it? This is a different kind of experience. FirstNightEvanston.net and $25 to get a wristband that allows you to walk to all these different venues,
to see all these different things,
and then you have the joy of surprise by finding a cute restaurant, by finding a cute bar.
Yeah, and for those people who have who really want to make sure that they get a seat for the act that they want, we're able to sell those people a reserve section wristband for any one of the venues. We even have a VIP front row wristband that gets you the front row of every venue. We're taking care of everybody however we can. The one thing I'm really proud of is this teen sort of track that we've created. Well, we started out by doing a teen battle of the bands for a couple of years, and we just found this incredible wealth of talent in the teenage community. These are great bands. I mean, everybody would love these bands.
You have circus acts there, too.
We have the Actors Gymnasium of Evanston, and they're going to come out, and they're going to do some silks and some tumbling and some things like that. You know, part of it's that we want to include as much of Evanston as we can. Evanston is a unique community. It's full of incredibly creative people and people who respect creativity.
But also people who like to share. It's, again, that pride of place. People who like to share their place.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the best example is one of the guys who's headlining the event, who's Howard Levy.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Levy has played with... He's played with Paul Simon, Dolly Parton, Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
He's played with Stevie Wonder. I mean, he is a Grammy Award-winning musician. He doesn't live in Nashville, doesn't live in L.A., doesn't live in New York. He lives in Evanston.
Yeah.
That's where he makes his home.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he plays his heart out for us. And that's that is as emblematic of the event as anything I can think of.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. That's a good call. And Megan, who grew up a little north of Evanston, is also a local girl. And Corky, who...
He lived in Evanston. Corky was one of the first guys who windsurfed out of Evanston. And I'll never forget him walking down to the lake every day, you know, in November in his wetsuit, you know.
And the other great thing about an event like this, no matter how you go and how much time you spend at First Night Evanston sampling some of these people, you can then, you will be introduced to people who, depending on your musical tastes, will stay with you for the rest of your life. Especially when you hear the backstories of Howard and you hear the backstory of Corky going down as a teenage white kid to black blues clubs on the South Side and Megan hitting the road as an opening act for, you know, John Denver, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And Irwin Helfer is living history. Yeah. Pianist Irwin Helfer is living history. Stuart Rosenberg, you are something. How's everything at Space?
Space is ongoing. You know, I'm very, very proud of what I did there.
Oh.
I'm not so involved in the day-to-day anymore.
Yeah.
It rolls by itself.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy who likes to come up with the big ideas, make them happen,
and then
move on to the next thing.
Stuart, it is an ongoing pleasure to know you. He is the, you know, sort of co-owner and founder of Space in Evanston. If you've never been to Space, just... keep it on your menu for 2017. And he is the altruistic impresario of First Night Evanston. It's a grand celebration featuring Howard Levy, Megan McDonough. Just go. I'm not going to keep mentioning the names. Just go to firstnightevanston.net. Look at the schedule. Look at the venues. A million nice restaurants. Stay overnight. Sleep on the sidewalk. They won't kick you out. Do the whole thing. Stuart, it's always great to see you. And it's
an ongoing
pleasure to know you.
My great pleasure.
Thanks for coming in.